Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Before we get into it, one thing I know Pastor had asked me to kind of talk about was to kind of get encouragement to talk about their experience on the retreat. I'll tell you that I am the youth leader, and one thing I heard that really stuck with me was to set up the next generation. And it kind of talked to us a little bit about how important that is, how, you know, what we train our children in, what we teach our children, you know, they're going to pick that up. If we want them to live godly lives, we should try to instill that in them from a young age. You know, I was just seeing it now. My son, my wife is holding him, and during worship, he started lifting up his arms and everything. Because what he's doing is he's emulating what he sees around him. So to me, it's so important that, you know, especially us men who are supposed to be the spiritual head of the household, that we become those people that emulate Christ. Paul said, you know, emulate me as I emulate Christ, right? It's something where if we give them that, they're going to have a lot less struggle as life goes on. Doesn't mean that it isn't going to be times that they're challenged to going through trials, but they'll know how to go through it properly. So if there's any men in here who went to the retreat, please come up, share your testimony. I see some men, and I see some men that were at that retreat. Yeah.
Terry asked me to come up, and first of all the men slept on the ground on cots. So when I was asked about that, I grew up in Minnesota. The only poisonous things we have are poison ivy and mosquitoes are harassment. So I didn't quite know what snakes do and all that. So I was a little bit hesitant. But when we got out there, Henry just goes the extra mile. You know, food, everything. He's such a servant. It was wonderful. Jonathan, his son, was there, and then I think Andrew Hopkins spoke, and it was really a blessing. And so when they had prayer, you know, when we were just watching about miracles, I had my ear prayed for, and also I love worship, but I'm basically tone deaf. Okay, so he prayed for me for worship. So we worshiped in the car the other day, didn't we, Linda and Terry? So it was great. So. Step out. Don't be afraid to step out and see what God can do, because He loves you. And kind of the message I had is there are a lot of good things happening, but in Sunday school today, we talked about Romans 8, and I think maybe it's verse 8 too, where there's no condemnation, where there's no law, there's no condemnation. Can you believe that? Christ, being man and God, came down in a perfect body, and now there's no condemnation for you. There's no law, there's no condemnation. So God loves all of you, He loves all of us, and we can move on from there. So that's my thought. Thank you.
Well, that men's conference was amazing. You know, I remember... Anybody remember Devo in the crowd here? On Saturday, when Devo started his worship and he opened his mouth, and I was immediately hit with the Holy Spirit and just tears were running out. He hadn't even spoke a word yet. The Saturday worship was just anointed. Andrew prayed over several men at the conference. I can't remember how many there were, but many of the men got healed. I was one of those men. I've been 29 years with a knee that has had pain in it nonstop. I have not had pain since last Friday night after he prayed for me. God is good, isn't he? Sometimes it takes time for him to work. But I was told in 1992 that I would only walk for 5 years. And then I would end up being in a wheelchair. Well, God didn't allow that to happen. Doctors don't always speak the truth. Okay. But one thing that Andrew talked about was the giants before us. We are assigned to defeat the giants before us. Think of what would have happened had David not stood in front of that giant and saying, "Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to a child of the Most High God." Of course, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm paraphrasing for today. You all are children of the Most High God. Some of us, our giant right now is fear. Fear of COVID, fear of lack of food that we're hearing about that's not going to be on the shelves. Fear, fear, fear. Our country is in a bad way right now. But I'm telling you, that giant that some of us have is fear. Does the Bible not say that God did not give us the spirit of fear? For he gave us power, love, and a sound mind. If God did not give us the spirit of fear, where is that fear coming from? We are children of the Most High God. By his stripes we are healed. Nothing can happen to us unless God allows it. We all go through trials and tribulations. Anybody remember Job? Job was a righteous man. And Job went through some trials, and he learned something through them. But when he came out of it, he came out stronger, and he was blessed. So when we look at people that are getting sick, or whether they're getting a trial or some kind of tribulation in their lives, it may be a work that the Lord's doing in them so that they can have a blessing on the other end. Job was blessed with twice what he had before he went through his trial. And I encourage you all, you are children of the Most High God. You are being raised to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. Do you know who you are? The power comes from the Holy Spirit. You are powerful. There's nothing that can defeat the Holy Spirit. And we have to walk that way. You are powerful children of God. That's what I got out of the conference. Thank you.
So I don't know if you could tell, but it was a pretty good time. Yeah. No, let's clap for that. Yeah. Before we get started, let's go ahead and just pray. So, Lord, I just ask that you be with us today, that every service here on out, that it's just not another service, but it's something that actually changes our lives and it invigorates us and it leads us onto the path that you want us on, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. So where's that magic line that Pastor John has here? Is it that? I don't know. We'll see. Well, as Steve starts shouting at me, I'll know. You know, one thing I'm really big on, and, you know, I've said this before, is wisdom. One thing since, like, many years ago when I was in junior high, I wanted to know, what does God want from me? So what I did is, you know, I had a Bible, look at the index, and I'm like, you know, how about wisdom? So I looked at it, went through everything about wisdom, and it really did change a lot for me. Because it says in the book of James that if you ask for wisdom, God's going to give it to you. So I believed it. Because it also said if You don't doubt, don't expect to receive it. I mean, if you doubt, don't expect to receive wisdom. And that's something that's a promise for every one of us. Okay, if you've ever read the Bible and you're just thinking, well, you know, I just don't understand it. I can't understand it. I don't have that capacity. You have the Holy Spirit and you have the Word of God. And it has a promise. It says you can get wisdom. So believe. Don't believe. Don't tell yourself the lie that you're not, you know, able to grasp what the Bible is trying to tell you. Because you can. Just believe. Pray. In Proverbs, I didn't give you this to you, Terry, but in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. You know, it's a pretty strong statement. You know, if you think about like a class that was hard in school, you know, what did you do so you could pass it? Okay, hopefully you didn't give up. Hopefully what you did instead is you actually worked harder to understand it, right? Hopefully you got a tutor if you needed it. You know, we have the Holy Spirit. We have spiritual leaders. We have people just know more than us concerning the Bible. And with everything, we're supposed to test it. So don't just take somebody's word for it, but actually read. Like me talking right now, you know, it sounds like a position of authority. I'm up here talking to you. Don't just take my word for everything I say to you. Actually go into scripture and see if what I say is true. Because so many people can be led astray. And it's kind of sad. I'm seeing like a lot of these like big spiritual leaders lately having all these scandals, and people are kind of like falling away from their faith because they're building it on a person rather than on scripture, which is the most important thing. So the other thing too is, you know, when I see in the world, or just, you know, believers, non-believers alike, when I see people going along with certain things, like I have a red flag starts going off. And we're going to kind of get into that later, but it sounds like Steve was actually talking about one of the scriptures he's going to start with here in Bible study. So Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen, right? And it says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's how we should live. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. And I talked about this last time we preached. But, you know, our hearts can deceive us. You know, we have a desire for something, especially when it involves something that's comfort, because the flesh itself is something that's selfish. It wants what it wants. So there's times where we may go along with something that we shouldn't be, just because it's kind of like what I want, what you want. And the only way to really overcome that is to listen to the Holy Spirit and then also read scripture, know what it truly says. Like I said, wisdom. Also, I want to go back to this right here. Let's see here. In order that the righteous... I know it said it in here. Awkward silence. Okay. We'll just skip over that for now. So it says, it goes on to say, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So, you know, when we're living by the flesh, we're not going to please God by what we do. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So the thing is if we're letting the flesh lead us, we're obviously not doing what God's called us to do, right? So it's something where we have to actually work at finding understanding, finding what God wants, so that we're not displeasing God. And everything that we have, like commands, rules, whatever, it's I say this a lot, but it's not because God wants to find a way to punish us, but God is just showing us how we properly love one another, if we believe or not. It's just like, if I told my son, hey, don't touch the stove, I'm not telling him because I'm ready to smack him in the hand. What I'm doing is I don't want him to get burned. Because God, he created the universe, right? He knows what the consequences to our actions are. So if we skip ahead a little bit, and this is Romans chapter 8, and this is verses 12 through 17. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you'll put to death the misdeeds of the body. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be a child of God. And it says, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you will live in fear again. Terry was saying this earlier. There are a lot of people living in fear, right? Right? Fear of how they'll be able to provide for themselves, fear of what's going on in the world, a lot of fear. And the biggest issue, though, is that it's not just unbelievers. It's believers, too. Okay? I don't know. I won't put this delicately. I won't put this nicely. All right? There's a lot of things where people will tell you what the answer is. Say, you know what? I feel like I've already said this, but I have to say it again. That, you know what? Nothing's going to happen right in this country unless this person's president. Like God isn't bigger than a man. That these people are trying to gain control, but God's not bigger than a group of people. It's this thing where we don't have to live in fear of anything. Right? We don't. I'll even say something crazy. All right. Okay. First of all, I want to say this. Before we put God's name to anything, we better make sure that's what God says. Okay? Better make sure. We look at scripture. We don't look at something that, somebody may have shared with us. That sounds good. But we look at scripture. Scripture, okay? Because we don't know where their source is. I know where my source is. The source is the Bible, the Word of God, okay? So when it comes to something like, I don't really want to talk about this. When it comes to something like vaccines, right? Did you ask God about it first? Because I know there's a lot of opposition, but there's also some people that go along with it. So either way, did you just make your decision out of fear? Because like I said, we got to be honest with ourselves. We have to be very honest. It's like, what I'm doing, is it because I want to stay in my comfort area? Or is it because I'm afraid of something? Because, before the vaccine came out, there's some really crazy stuff where people are like, it's going to change your DNA. And it's like, it's going to sneak around what God thinks about you, or, it's going to hide you from God all of a sudden. It's like, I serve a powerful God. He's not going to let that happen. What about in the Bible where it says, you will drink poison and recover? Okay. What about the shield of faith? Like, if you're worried about something harming you, don't. Okay? Because we have a God who is strong. He created everything. Do you think, like, man can do anything to harm you? He may hurt your physical body, but you know what? Jesus would be like, healed, right? Or that's not going to hurt you at all. You remember when Paul was shipwrecked and he got that snake bite? What did he do? He just shook it off. They're like, that's a dead man right there. Did he die? No. So, like I said, before you say, I'm not going to do this because God says, I want you to truly look in the scripture, because this is all personal thing. I want you to truly look at scripture and see which way God guides you, because sometimes it's going to surprise you, because there's times where I'm like, you want me to give what to who? You know? You want me to do what? You want me to go where? You want me to preach? But, I mean, there are things that if you don't step outside of your comfort zone, you're not going to truly experience God in the way that you really should. There's going to be miracles that will open up to you because you're just obedient. Obedience is a big thing. God would rather have obedience than sacrifice. You know, he'd rather you just do what you're supposed to than ask for forgiveness. So, let's see here. We'll go back to the scriptures. And it says, rather the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And he doesn't have to do that, but I mean, that's amazing, right? He's willing to share his glory with us. So in Matthew chapter 7, it says this, in this verse 13 and 14. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. So like I had said earlier, if I see a lot of people going a certain direction, especially if they are people who, it's like a mix of believers and non-believers, if I see them kind of heading off in one direction, saying this is the answer, this is the solution, or we need to do this, we need to be upset about that, like warning starts going off, right? Because many people are going to find that answer. Many people are going to find certain things. Doesn't mean everything like that. Like, I mean, revivals, big revivals. Yeah, that's okay, right? We could be all for that. But when it comes to something that's kind of, I guess, outside of like a revival, something like that, something godly move, then, yeah, I'm going to be a lot more careful about what direction I go. Because it says also, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few. I want to be one of the few. I want to go the right direction. I want to do the right thing. And notice it's not just getting through the gate. You got to be on that narrow path. Because how else do you get there? So we're going to go to the uplifting book of Ecclesiastes. This is chapter 7, verses 15 through 18. It starts off pretty upbeat too. In this meaningless life of mine, I have seen both of these. The righteous perishing in their righteousness, and the wicked living long in their wickedness. Do not be overrighteous, neither be overwise. Why destroy yourself? That's another thing is righteousness or self-righteousness is kind of a big thing lately. that we kind of are telling people, you know what, I know the right way, but you don't. Rather, we're supposed to be people who actually like guide people in love to the right direction. But it's a lot of just arguing. And arguing is not going to be something that gets you anywhere. I mean, do you think I'm going to win some souls for Christ to say, you know what, you're a terrible person, you demon person? It's like that does not win friends. I don't know. Has anybody got a friend like that before? You know, tell them how bad and terrible they were. Because, I mean, yes, we do need to hold up the scripture and the law and say, hey, that ain't right. You know, we got all this, but you know what? It's okay because we have a Lord and Savior who saves us all, right? Died for our sins. Doesn't mean we can live those sins. We got to like get away from all that. But, you know, if we say it in a way that is more loving, caring, it's going to get us somewhere. Because follow the example of Jesus. You know, the woman that they pulled out in the street wanted to stone her. Did he tell her how terrible she was? He told her, go, sin no more. He defended her, right? Zacchaeus, little guy in the tree. I can say that because I'm a little guy too. He'd tell him, get out of the tree and smack him in the face or something, right? No, instead, Zacchaeus repented right there in front of him, gave back what he had stolen and more. But who are the type of people he got upset at? But let's look at this. Let's go ahead and skip. Sorry, Terry. I want to go to Matthew 16. This is verse 22. Okay, first of all, this is Peter. Now, if you remember, Jesus was in the garden at one time, and before he went on the cross, and he had his disciples pray, but he took some people closer, one of them being Peter, right? Because he was close to this guy. And Jesus had revealed to him, hey, look, I'm going to have to die on a cross, but I'm going to be resurrected again. And this was Peter's response. It says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. This is a guy he was close with. This is a guy he loved, right? Not like John the disciple he loved, but guy he's close with. It says, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So, I mean, this just goes to show you, it's like, it wasn't the people who were far off from God that he was out there correcting, rebuking in a way that was forceful. Okay, think about the time he was in the temple, right? And Jesus showed up. He made a whip. He flipped over tables. Okay, these were supposed to be people who were godly, right? Obviously, they weren't if he went and did that. But you know, the kind of people that God gets upset with are righteous, self-righteous people. People who think that they have more value or are better than other people. Everything we have is from God. So we can't boast that we're better than someone. We can't boast that we know more. None of that, because it all comes from God. All of it. So, if we could, Terry, can we go back, please, to Ecclesiastes 15 to 18? And actually starting at 17, is that up there? Okay. It says, do not be over wicked and do not be a fool. Why die before your time? Because the wages of sin is death, right? It is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. So if you're in a position where you have some kind of extreme in your life, like that person isn't redeemable, or that person is my enemy, then you probably have an extreme in your life that needs to go. Okay, everybody deserves the gift that God gives us. Everybody. I mean, look at Paul, right? He killed Christians, persecuted. He ended up writing so much of the New Testament. You know, it kind of makes me wonder. It's like, God, were you the one that Jesus, were you the one that personally met Paul? Because maybe nobody else was willing to put their life on the line to be in front of this guy who might do terrible things to him? It just makes me wonder. I mean, it's not in scripture or anything, so. So we are to avoid all extremes. If you find yourself in a place where, yeah, there's no saving that person, or we have to absolutely do something that's against God's word, then you're at an extreme. You need to avoid that. We're going to keep on the uplifting train of Ecclesiastes. And so we're going to jump down to verse 27. And it says, look, says the teacher, this is what I have discovered, adding one thing to another to discover the scheme of things. While I was still searching, but not finding, I found one upright man among 1,000, but not one upright woman among them all. I mean, this just goes to show that men are so much better. No? I'm kidding. Right. Mama, I love you. My wife, I love you. Yeah. No. So, this only I have found. God created mankind upright, but they have gone in search of many schemes. You know, it's something where it says right here, he created us to be what? Upright. So we are created to be upright, but we've gone in search of many schemes, right? So what we need to do is we just need to make sure we're not scheming, that we're actually following after God. You know, we shouldn't get distracted by everything in the world. Okay, the most important things aren't politics. They are your job, because God, he'll provide. If you believe it, he's going to provide. He does it. We got scriptures to stand on for that. There are so many things, like what kids are being taught in school, not the problem. You know what the problem is? Is that it's people separated from their Savior. That's the problem. You know what we need to get? More people following God. Okay, that's our solution. That's our thing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be winning souls for the kingdom. Okay? Doesn't mean you have to talk to every person, you see? Like, you know, just do what God leads you to do. But if you live a certain life, people are going to recognize that. And then they're going to say, you know what? I want to be like that person. I want what they have. They always have this joy. They're never defeated. They're overcoming things I never thought was possible. And that only comes from us being close to God, to knowing his word, having that wisdom of how to overcome. Do everything you can to gain wisdom. Everything. So, Isaiah 53:6. It says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, just goes to show kind of like that scheming business again, that we've gone away. But, you know, as I was saying before, we have a Savior to divert all that from us. We just have to follow him. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. You know, for our, John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the, okay, it doesn't say people who only believe in him. It says the world, right? So if he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son so that everybody who believed on him would have everlasting life. Well, that means we need to offer that to everybody. There's no doubt. There's going to be people who reject it. It's going to be a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of people that are ugly to you. But you know what? We're not supposed to be ugly back. We just need to do our part. That's it. Simple. Turn the other cheek. Right? That's not about letting people slap you around. That's about taking insults and not responding to them. So, you know, the real thing we need to fight against too is this. Can you bring up 2 Corinthians, please? I mean, we all know this, but we need to put it at the forefront of our minds. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Like I was saying, you know what? People, they look for political leaders, they look for organizations, they look for somebody to stand behind, right? We have Jesus, we have God, we have the church. We stand behind that. We deal with everybody in love. So, you know, speaking of that, we all know the story of how Saul became king, but like, was it Samuel asking about, he went to God, it's like, hey, they rejected me. And it's like, no, the people didn't reject you, they rejected me, God, as their leader. That's why they want an earthly leader. They want a king like everybody else. And even, I didn't realize this until recently, but we're reading, or it didn't stand out to me, in John chapter 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000, at the end of that, he actually says this. It says this in the Bible. John 6:15. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. I didn't recognize that before because of the way the world's going right now. It kind of stood out. Like, even then, they wanted to take Jesus, and Jesus, like, Jesus, you know, be our political leader. It's like, that isn't what our concern is. It sounds kind of weird. Doesn't mean you fight for what's right, because you do, but you do it in love. Right? Our main focus should be on whatever God has tasked us with, whatever it is. You know, look at Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. All of us who believe we have the Spirit, we are gifted to do something for God. Is everybody breathing in here? Okay. Do you all have a gift? All right. Then you all have a purpose. You all have your place within the body of believers to carry out God's will. Everybody. Okay. Everybody is required, necessary. Everybody is valuable. There's no job too small, no job too big. Everybody. So, it says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So is anything opposed to God? Well, you know what? We have the power to fight against that, right? God's given it to us. But it's not the way the world does it. It's the way God does it. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So you know what? Stay obedient to Christ. Keep that mind under control. Don't lash out at people. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. It's also in James. It says, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Whose obedience? Ours. You are judging by appearances. If anyone is confident that they belong to Christ, they should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as they do. So, all right, so let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 22, 27. Oh, I already did that one. Sorry. All right. Actually, you know what? I just did part of that. So let's go to 24 up there. Next slide, please. Okay. All right, so after he's talking to Peter, said, hey, Satan, get behind me. That's some strong language, right? Especially somebody who believes, somebody who is close to him. Like I said, how does he treat sinners? How does he treat people who are believers? It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Like I said, we all have a gift. We all have a purpose as long as we're breathing here. That's that cross you carry. And deny yourself. Like, number one, are you, and this is a little bit later in the scripture there, but are you willing to give up your life for God? Or even something that's a little bit easier, are you willing to give up your way of life for God? Because there's a lot of ways where, you know, it's sometimes probably harder because, like, just an instant you can give up your life, right? You can make that decision right there. But to give up a way of life, to continually walk in something, that takes some consistency. That takes some work, some endurance, some struggle, right? But we're called to that. It says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? And let's not even talk about it, because, like, I think a lot of times we think about this, like, gaining the whole world is like gaining, like, stuff, money, things like that, right? But what if we just replace that? What if for someone to gain comfort, for someone to gain a little bit of happiness from something that's entertaining, kind of wordy, but, you know, make sure that what you're trying to get is always going to be what God wants you to get, not just what makes you happy, what makes you comfortable. Like I said, the flesh part of us is selfish. So it says, or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. I want to be rewarded for what I did. I don't know about you, but I want to be rewarded. So let's go to Luke chapter 6, this is verse 46. And it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Simple thing. I mean, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Right? So, you know, let's look at that, what that means, Lord, when we say it. Because it's not just Jesus. So this is actually in the Greek. It's, I hope I pronounce it right. Kurios. It sounds like curious. Kurios. That's what it is. It sounds like curious, but it's not. Kurios. But it says supreme authority, controller, by implication, master, as a respectful title, God, Lord, Master, Sir. So, I mean, imagine replacing those words with what it said. Why do you call me supreme in authority and not do what I say? Why do you call me controller, let's say, of your life and not obey me? Why do you call me master of your life, but not do what I say? I mean, you got to look at it that way. It's like, if you say Jesus is Lord, what are you saying? What are you committing yourself to? You're not just saying words. You're actually committing to something, right? I mean, if you believe Jesus is Lord, that should be reflected in your life and how you live it. Because if you're saying he's the master, your authority, he's in control of your life better look like Jesus is. So let's go to Luke chapter, the same chapter 6, but verse 47 and on. It says, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built, built in the rock, right? But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So what's the importance of actually hearing the word and then doing it? Because I don't want my life to collapse. I want it built on something. That's the word of God, right? I don't want to be led to destruction. But I guess let me ease your mind a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Because this is about us who believe. It says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Okay, day of judgment. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. And if it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, and here's the good part for us, right? But yet we'll be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So I want to be one of those people that gets rewarded for what I do, okay? Not just because I'm looking for that kind of thing, but just because it sounds like it's the better option. I don't know. I want to make God happy. Like, I actually love God. So what I want to do is I want to have a good relationship with them, right? I mean, imagine if we, like, have a spouse and we did stuff just to anger them all the time. Okay, it's like, well, I know I'll do better next time, you know, but just keep doing it over and over. I mean, does that show my love towards that person? You know, you can think the same thing about friends, anything, and just how you treat people in general. Is just like, are you giving without expecting receiving anything? Like, when we worship, really the major point of that is just to offer something to God. Worship means to show adoration for. You know, are you showing that adoration? Because it's something we really need to do. And not a lot of times we do get blessed by it. When we worship God, a lot of times we get blessed by it. Like this morning, I was blessed by worship, right? But you know, I don't need to go into it thinking I'm going to get something out of it. Because really, relationships shouldn't always be about what can I get out of it. It should be what can I give to the other person. You know, going back, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about the gifts you have. It's talking about serving one another. Jesus himself did not come to be served, but to serve, right? That's what the Bible says. So You know, we need to act out of this place from love. We can't expect, especially people who don't believe, for them to treat us with love. There's going to be a lot of people hostile to it, right? You know, when Stephen was stoned, let's talk about Jesus on the cross. You know, did any one of them say, look at what they're doing, give them what they deserve? No. What did Jesus say on the cross? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. We can't expect a world that has no idea about God, even though they have an idea, because it's written on the tablets of their heart. But we can't expect a world that's not bound to living a godly life like we are, to act in a godly manner. So no matter how hard it is, we have to show love. That a big part of that comes through our relationship with God. We know God, we're going to know love, because God is love. So I just want to kind of leave with this here. It's Psalm 37. And it says, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. So just pretty easy. Trust God. Do good. Live your life. You're going to be okay, right? So it says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Do you hear that? Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. It's hard to wait a lot of times. But it says in there, a day for the Lord is like 1,000 years. So it's pretty hard to be that kind of patient, right? But we need to be patient. I mean, where is our faith? Where is our trust? If we trust what the Bible says, God's going to prevail, right? I mean, the creator of the universe, do you think anybody can do anything against him? No. Not at all. And he says, refrain from anger. No. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. Though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field, they will be consumed. They will go up in smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be destroyed. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Wrongdoers will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will perish. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just. The law of their God is in their hearts. Their feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, intent on putting them to death. But the Lord will not leave them in the power of the wicked or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Hope in the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are destroyed, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a luxuriant native tree, but soon passed away and was of no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless, observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. There will be no future for the wicked. The salvation of the righteous come from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. So really just what we need to do is trust in God. Know God better so that we do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Commit ourselves to that. It's so easy to be distracted in this day and age with everything going on around us. But the true thing is what we see in the Bible. What does the Bible ask us to do? That's what we need to do. You know, when we pray, when we read the Bible and he reveals it to us, is it going to make a change in us? Is it going to make us the person God's trying to shape us into? So do whatever you can to get wisdom, because it's going to keep you on the right path and it's going to get you through that narrow gate. So let's go ahead and close in prayer here. God, I just ask that you go out with us today. Ask that the words that we heard in your scripture don't leave us, but they grow inside of us. They give us change. They help us to know you more, to love you more. Lord, help us to make time for you, to spend time with you and to serve with you and for you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've given us. Thank you, Jesus, for your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.